investigating phenomena like this, the kind of, the apparitions of light and sound and so forth, because when they attract a lot of attention, they are afraid and concerned that if these are hoaxes, that they will cause a loss of faith and reflect badly on the church. At the same time, if they can show that a particular sighting does appear to be miraculous, the Catholic Church is altogether willing to, you know, make use of that in fostering faith.
Isn't there? Did you mention in your book in what used to be Yugoslavia? Wasn't there a place where the similar thing happened? Some little kids saw the Virgin Mary, and then thousands of people sort of flocking there.
Yeah, those are going on. I didn't deal with that in the book, but those are going on. I think it's called Medjugorje.
There you go.
Yugoslavia, and it's, I don't know if it's continuing now, but it's...
Attendance is way down now.
It's what?
Attendance is way down now.
Attendance is way down?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's going on, no doubt, and that, and these kind of phenomena can be, you know, they're going, there's something going on somewhere all the time along these lines, which it's hard to find a single rational pattern for it all, which makes it very easy to be, the easiest position of all is to be a hardcore debunker, because the phenomena that appear are really irrational by our standards, and it's very easy to point to the witnesses and to make jokes. And to make, you know, just to make jokes about it. The hardest position is to be a true skeptic, which is to refuse to rule out of bounds any possibility in advance, but, you know, to stay close to the evidence. That's the hardest, because the phenomenon has an ambiguous quality. It appears as physical matter in some context. It appears to have a very hard-edged, clear material basis. And yet these very same material phenomena, apparent material phenomena, in the next moment, the next phase of their existence in the sequence, will seem to shimmer and change shape and change form and give off streams of light and then appear to be holograms and then disappear altogether. Well, that's not something that, you know, most scientific institutes are going to get involved with, at least publicly. So it tends, therefore, to be picked up by, you know, popular culture, at worst by the tabloids, and...
Well, did you see today Hillary Clinton adopted an alien baby? I saw it at the Weekly World News on the way over to the station tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
What is her, Chelsea? I wonder what Chelsea has to say.
Chelsea's got a new sister.
All right.
Well, maybe Chelsea is an alien baby.
There you go.
I don't want to put words in your mouth there, Keith, but... Is it correct to say that the thesis of your book, or part of the thesis, is that what people bring to the table determines in large part what they see?
Absolutely it is. We like to think that seeing is believing, but as often as not, believing is seeing. That is, we don't ever come to an experience unformed. That doesn't mean we can't more or less perceive, that we can't perceive something in front of us that's autonomous, but at the same time, that same autonomous something, that if it has an independent existence, let's grant it may have an independent existence, and yet according to different cultures, different belief systems, it can be interpreted in radically different ways, and beyond just belief, cultural biases, ideological biases. I mean, the Air Force has consistently looked at these sightings and ruled them all out of bounds, does not exist, sighting explained. Yet there's a whole large number that aren't explained even by the Air Force's own accounting. So yeah, what we bring, that is what I try to show. I mean, it's even in the title, Angels and Aliens, a phenomenon. This is not to say that UFOs ultimately are angels or ultimately are aliens. That's not even the point of making the two together. It's that here's a phenomenon that is significantly deep enough and vivid enough and yet ambivalent enough that... two very different interpretations can be maintained about it. And that, to me, is as interesting as what the phenomenon ultimately is.
I'd like to talk to you for a minute about crop circles. Now, I don't know if there have ever been any cases of anyone actually seeing a spacecraft or a UFO come down and make a crop circle, but how do they tie into the whole thing?
Well, the crop circles essentially are these vivid patterns in wheat fields, corn fields, that are being called agroglyphs. I think, in some parts of the world.
Do they have them in the American wheat basket or just over in Europe?
Actually, in Britain, Australia, Canada, Soviet Union, and the Midwestern fields of the United States. They appear overnight, usually, in knee or waist-high grain, and they don't cut or damage the plants, and they are said by those who are witnessing them. Increasingly large numbers of people are camping out, and researchers are bringing their equipment to record electromagnetic effects and so forth, but they are said to be accompanied by various electrical disturbances, hovering lights, humming sounds, and other kind of unusual phenomena. And because there's so many cases of them simply appearing overnight, even in fields where the perimeters have been guarded, and they sometimes have round shapes, and there have been lights seen above them, they have been assimilated into the whole UFO world.
Are there any similarities between the crop circles and etchings that you might see in Peru, South America, in the mountains, Hopi Indian writings, cave paintings, anything like that?
Well, sometimes they have the crop circles. I find them intriguing because they have beautiful geometric shapes, and they level the crops in a very precise way, precise pattern. Some of the formations resemble things like Celtic crosses and other kinds of religious or mythological shapes from mythologies, and yes, shapes from the artworks of cultures in Peru and so forth. There are certain geometric, almost timeless religious shapes that some of the crop circles resemble. So, there are certain patterns. What the origin of all of it is obviously uncertain, but the crop circles have not been explained. There are some that are hoaxes. There are some UFO cases that are hoaxes, obviously, many. But the fact is they cannot all be explained. There are a thousand of them at least now, and they've not all been explained as hoaxes. There are just too many. And if they are hoaxes, ultimately they may be hoaxes. They haven't been explained that way yet. If they turn out to be hoaxes, there's another great story, because it's a very high level, very well organized, global kind of hoax that's being pulled off here.
Well, if you ever see a crop circle pattern that says the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, you know it's not a hoax. You know those aliens just have darn good taste, even modern ease broadcasts. Thanks a lot for your time, Keith. Is there anything you wanted to say or anything you were hoping we would get to before we let you go?
No, the things you've said have been fine. We touched on the major points of the book, so no, it's been good talking to you. It's good to talk to Cincinnati. As I told you earlier, I grew up in northwestern Ohio in Lima.
The land is flat.
That's right.
Hey, how can an interested listener get a hold of you? Is there an address they can write, do you have anything like that set up? Do you want to hear from people?
They can write to me in care of the book. That's usually the way. The publisher is Ballantine, and that's the best way. I'm not really set up to... I'm really open. I'm more interested in hearing from people who read the book. I know that sounds self-serving, but I've put a lot of time and energy into the book. If someone will read it and wants to comment to me about my ideas, pro or con, that's great. I'm much more interested in that than receiving generic comments about UFOs, because frankly, I'm not going to do another book on it. So.
Oh, okay. So Ballantine Books, New York City, huh?
That's right. NYCNY. And the book is available, I guess, in answer.
But you're just like Michael Jordan, huh? Just write Keith Thompson, New York City, and it gets to you.
Well, that's what I like to think. It gets to New York. It doesn't get to me. Yeah, I will say one thing. You asked me what else I want to say, and that is the book is available in many bookstores.
How much of this thing cost you?
What's it going to cost? $12.
Where is it?
$12.
$12 in the U.S. $16 in Canada.
Is that right?
That's because they got crop circles up there.
That's because they got that funny Monopoly money.
Yeah,
take
right. off, eh, you hoser?
Who did the cool artwork on the cover?
Doug and Bob. I don't know who did it. Someone at the publisher. I haven't found out that myself. I really like it. Let's see. No, cover designed by James R. Harris.
There you go, Jimmy.
Yeah, Jim is back.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to us,
One more question.
Get some sleep, you guys.
On the side of the book, it says philosophy. Is that what you would put it under?
I was struck by that, too. Yeah, in some way, it sounds more more serious than UFOs, doesn't it? I think that's what the publishers want. I mean, it actually is a study of the philosophy of science in some respects. Like, it's the UFO phenomenon, even if it is a physical phenomenon, clearly has philosophical implications, and that's a lot of what I try to explore. So, yeah, I'm right up there with Plato.
You closer to Los Angeles or San Francisco out there or San Diego? What part of California are you in?
I straddle the fence. I'm right in between. It's a town called Santa Cruz, which is where the earthquake was 4 years ago, and it's really midway. It's the central coast, midway between Los Angeles and San Francisco. I like to think of myself more as connected to San Francisco, if only because Northern California is much more beautiful than Southern California.
Well, with the new manager, the Reds are going to be breathing down your throat, baby.
I know it.
Thanks a lot, Keith.
You're welcome.
Bye.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We'll be taking your calls at 749-1444. Now we got a little food for thought. Be right back. Fascinating, Rob.
Heavy, man. That was heavy.
Little Green Men. Spaceships from another galaxy coming to planet Earth to visit.
Possibly time travelers. Possibly inter-deity travels. Inter-realm travelers.
Wow.
From this earthly realm to from a heavenly
fifth,
realm.
From the fifth dimension. Marilyn McCoo coming to visit.
Sean, what's your take on all this?
I believe.
You believe what?
In UFOs.
What about them do you believe in?
I think we've been visited many times. I think the government has knowledge of UFOs and that they're I think they're just mainly scared that the people of not only of the U.S. but of the world freak out and go into a frenzy like they did when Orson Welles did the broadcast of the War of the Worlds.
That's exactly what Pat Packard of MUFON said to us when he was here a couple months ago. What's the government going to do? Come out and say, all right, people, we admit it. There's visitors from another planet hanging around. And if they want to attack us, we're absolutely powerless to protect you. But don't worry, but they're there.
Right.
I mean, you can understand the government's position covering this stuff up. Now, the government covering up stuff about, you know, the Kennedys getting shot and Martin Luther King Jr. getting shot. I mean, that's a different story.
Right.
I mean, you can understand why they cover up.
The conspiracy theory that I want to find out more about is I have a hunch that Tony Perez did something above and beyond the call of duty to get himself fired. I think he probably mouthed off to somebody or said the wrong thing about somebody behind somebody's back, something that they're not necessarily going to bring up in the public eye. So Jim Bowden came down on Tony's ass, fired the poor guy. And I want to know what Tony really did to deserve that.
Absolutely nothing. The Reds are doing... They suck, and they need a scapegoat.
Yeah, but you're not going to fire Tony Perez just yet. I mean, there's got to be more to it than
meets
the eye.
But isn't that Jim Bowden just coming out and admitting that he's an idiot?
Yes, he is.
Because Jim Bowden's the one that hired him. He said it was a unanimous decision. It was Bowden, his three lieutenants. They were all unanimous. They were all in agreement. Let's hire the dog. He's the man for the job.
That's why I'm convinced that there's more to it than we've been told.
44 days into it, they're all convinced that they should get rid of him.
Behind the scenes, something happened. Something that didn't make the newspapers and the talk shows. I don't know what it was, but Tony had to be directly involved, and they fired him.
I think it's a case of a guy, 32 years old, running a ball club, being in over his head. Jim Bowden, you're in over your head, buddy. Bail out before you drown.
So go ahead. Sean, you said you had some information you wanted to lay on us.
Yeah, there's a guy named Stan Gordon. He's been researching UFOs since 65.
Okay, if you could speak up a little bit, though, Sean,
okay,
I'd appreciate it.
Okay, he's been researching UFOs since 1965, and he started an organization called PASU, which is the Pennsylvanian Association for the Study of the Unexplained.
Wow, sounds cool.
And they have a PASU UFO 24-hour hotline. Can I go ahead and give that out over there?
Go ahead.
Okay, the number there, it's 24 hours. It's 1-412-838-7768.
What do they do for 24 hours?
If you have a UFO experience, you're supposed to call them, let them know, give them details, and they'll write everything down. Or you can write it in Stan Gordon, care of PASU.
Now, that stands for what?
Pennsylvanian Association for the Study of the Unexplained.
Of the Unexplained?
Right, mainly UFOs.
Oh, so they don't like deal with why I always get stuck behind someone trying to cash a two-party check in the express lane at the grocery store?
Right.
Okay, they don't deal with that kind of
unexplained
phenomenon.
But you can write them at 6 Oak Hill Avenue, Greensburg, Pennsylvania, 15601.
15601.
Right.
So are you saying if we call this phone number right now, somebody will be there?
Yeah, I think it would be. I think you guys should do it.
Let's dial
I'm
them up and find out who's there.
You're daring us.
I'm daring you.
We got to accept.
I'm double dog daring you.
Okay, well, hang on, Sean. We're going to cut you loose. We're going to call them up, see what they have to say.
All right, I'll call back and see if I was right.
Okay, hang tight.
Killer.
Okay, we'll be right with you.
We're going to call Pat Sue.
Little Rashpiggy while we wait. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, Resource Center.
Hi, this is Rob of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Is this PASU?
Yes, it is.
What's PASU?
Wow, what's PASU?
Excuse me?
What exactly is your organization?
We're a volunteer statewide scientific clearinghouse in Pennsylvania that investigates UFO sightings and other phenomena.
Has there been any UFO sightings in the Keystone State lately?
Well, we receive reports on quite a regular basis, and of course a lot of the sightings we investigate have a scientific, logical explanation, but we get reports quite often. A lot of the reports lately have been sightings of what appear to be bright planets and stars that look unusual during different type of atmospheric conditions, things along that line. But we had some pretty interesting sightings early in the year, and there were quite a lot of sightings last year that, as of yet, we've not been able to explain away.
Like what?
There were numerous reports, in particular, of these very large, solid, triangular-shaped objects seen very close to the ground by numerous eyewitnesses in different parts of the state last year.
Mm. We're calling from Cincinnati tonight. Do many of those UFOs in Pennsylvania ever get the same reports in Cincinnati, meaning that they've been flying back and forth? Or because, you know, we're not too far from Wright Patterson.
Mm-hmm. But there have been scattered reports in the last year over different parts of Ohio of different types of sightings as well. I don't have any particular information on that right in front of me.
What do you guys do with the information? Someone calls you and says, "Hey there, PASU, I saw a big triangular-shaped object flying outside and it sucked up my sister." What do you guys do then?
Well, first of all, most reports that come in here are from different agencies. We get a lot of reports there from police departments and news media and various agencies who get reports. And we take the reports very seriously. Our group is not open to the general public. We're mainly people involved in research.
Chris and Rob is not the general public. We are not the hoi polloi.
Excuse me, I couldn't hear you.
Chris and Rob are not the general public, just for information. We're not the Great and Wash. We're not the hoi polloi. We are the media elite.
We're not Betty and Barney Hill.
Hey, listen, have there been any of those cattle mutilations lately in Pennsylvania?
No, those are very rare in this part of the state.
What about crop circles?
We had two cases here back about 3 years ago.
I had two cases last night.
In two counties in Pennsylvania, and they seemed to be very legitimate. They were never made public. They were on private property, and we did soil testing, things like that, and they were appeared to be something pretty interesting.
What did you guys find out from the soil tests and radiation? Did you find what?
No, there was no type of radiation involved, but they were not something that was involved in anything biological. There was no type of fungus in the ground. They were interesting formations that were not something that would be made under normal natural conditions.
Did you look them up? Like, did they resemble any symbols from Hopi Indian tribe writings or from the Peruvian mountains in South America or anything like that?
No, these were one, if I remember exactly, it was around a 50-some-foot diameter circle with two other circles within the same perimeter. The other one was three interlocking large circles that were interconnected to each other.
So it looked like they started to make the Olympic rings and they couldn't finish it.
Well, they were spherical in shape.
Oh.
You know, sometimes we get crop circles out here in Ohio, but they always look like the Cincinnati Reds logo.
Well, what can I say?
Go Reds! We're going to beat the Pirates. Just wait.
Those Phillies are on fire, though.
Okay.
Where exactly is you're in Greenberg?
We're about 30 miles east of Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
You know Willie Stargell?
Not personally, but we're very familiar with him, yeah.
How many calls do you get a night here on the graveyard shift, besides from late-night talk shows from Cincinnati?
It varies on the time of the year and what's going on. Sometimes you get several reports a month. Sometimes in some particular incidents you might get 50, 60 calls a night, depending on what might occur.
Are they pretty cyclical? Do they come in waves? You get a bunch for a while, and then you're really dead for a while?
Yeah, that can happen.
Well, I guess that would make sense if, say, there's a weather balloon that everybody sees, then everybody would call.
That's correct.
Do you ever get calls from more than one person who never met each other that see the same unusual object?
That's very common. We've had cases where people over a 50, 60-mile radius sometimes call within minutes of each other without having any knowledge of other people reporting the same sighting.
Any abductions lately?
Yeah, we do get reports from people who claim to have had these experiences. And again, what's very interesting, I've been studying these cases since the late 1960s, and the majority of the reports coming in are not from people who seem to be from the crackpot category. I mean, we have a lot of medical people involved in this field, and we do a serious study of it, and we have reports from everybody, from some state troopers to doctors, the nurses, from normal everyday people are very reluctant to talk about it.
I tell you what, state troopers could be having a sugar hallucination from all those donuts, though.
Well, in these cases, they seem to be very responsible people.
Although Pennsylvania must have different state troopers.
You know, those state troopers in Pennsylvania, I remember driving to New York once, and on the road, they are the worst state troopers in the entire country. You can't drive through Pennsylvania without getting a speeding ticket.
Well, I guess they're just doing their job here. They seem to be pretty decent guys, the ones we've dealt with.
Doing their job? They're a bunch of animals is what they are. They'll track you down like the vermin you are.
What's your favorite space alien movie? E.T. or Close Encounters?
I'd say probably Close Encounters.
Is it anything like, do you think that's anything close to what it's like?
Well, I can't tell you from personal experience. I have never seen a UFO. I've been investigating for over 30 years. I've talked to thousands of people who have had these experiences, and I've never seen one.
What's your name, sir?
I'm Stan Gordon. I'm the director of the group.
Stan Gordon. Did we just hear his name?
Well, Stan, it's been great talking to you. We're going to send you a postcard. Would you like to be on... Can we put us on your mailing list?
If you send us something, we'll put it on the computer, yes.
Okay, well, we'll send you a card, and it'll have our return address on it. And, well, thank you for talking to us today.
Very good. Have a good morning.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Be right back.
Hello.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together,
we're debunking myths left and right.
Ouch. Hey, Sean.
Yo.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Now, you called us a minute ago.
Got to talk to the man.
Yeah.
Stan Gordon himself, founder of Marvel Comics.
Okay,
Stan Lee.
Okay, the founder of Passar.
Passu.
So you've already been on, so we're going to skim over you fast here. What else is on your mind?
That's about it, really. I just wanted to know if
you called to congratulate us?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what you guys thought of what he said.
Man, I thought we were going to talk to some goofball wacko who got stuck with the midnight shift.
Actually, when you first were talking to him, that's kind of what it sounded like to me.
And then, you know, I thought, well, if we don't get just some goofball crackpot who they stuck on the midnight shift, we're going to get some temporary service guy like Manpower or Olston. Who they're paying minimum wage to stay up all night and take messages.
Maybe they can't afford an office and it just rings in the dude's living room at night.
Do you think we rolled him out of bed?
Could be.
No, because he didn't get pick up his gun. What the feel on?
Well, that's Stan, or Sean?
Yeah.
What's the phone number here?
749-1444.
Thank you.
User. Give us a call here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, and Chris and Rob would like to wish the Banana Lady a happy trip out west. Visit the Grand Canyon, and if you see any UFOs or some crop circles while you're out there in Nebraska, you know what to do. It's area code 513-749-1444. We want to know what you bump into. Doug, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, Doug. What's up?
Yeah, I think I saw a UFO last week.
Yeah, right. What did it look like?
Came out of Cooter Saturday night.
Yeah. Okay.
And I wasn't drinking nothing, for I think I wasn't. And I think I saw something.
What did it look like?
I don't know. It just
triangular shaped?
No, it was like a pencil.
Like a pencil.
Hmm.
That was Cindy.
It was a pencil. It looked like a big pencil.
Mm-hmm. Her name was Cindy. Was she wearing a mini skirt?
No.
Big long bony legs?
Did she have long bony legs?
Yeah.
No.
Big old kneecaps, big as her skull?
Nah.
With real thin little calves falling coming down from
her? She had real big knees?
Uh-huh.
No, it wasn't her.
What kind of music were they playing that night?
Rave.
Rave on, baby. Did you leave alone or with a friend?
My friend Jason.
Oh, Jason. How is old Jason?
I don't know. You know, he ain't been the same since the accident.
What accident?
Something to do with masturbation. That's all I can get into. Mm.
Did the pencil, did anybody else see the pencil?
A couple of the bartenders.
Oh, did it erase anything?
I don't know.
Well, next time you see a big pencil, grab it and write on the sidewalk, Chris and Rob rule,
dude.
I'm
grabbing it now.
All right. Hey, guys at home grabbing his pencil.
What a freak. You know, speaking of pencils, did you ever hear about when, after Beethoven died, and they were going to bury him, and they
heard
on his coffin, they were getting ready, pallbearers were carrying him down, and on a coffin went, and they said, hey, there's something knocking inside Beethoven's coffin. And they opened it up, and there was Beethoven, and he had all his manuscripts in there in his coffin with him of the Seventh Symphony, the Eroica, and the Third Symphony, and the Ninth Symphony, and he was erasing them with a pencil. And they said, Beethoven, what the hell are you doing? We thought you were dead. And he said,
I have no idea. I've never heard this one.
He said, I'm decomposing.
Oh, okay, I have heard that one. I've managed to block that out of my mind.
Last like time some I heard sort that of, one, I fell off my dinosaur.
No, like it was some sort of unfortunate memory. You know how people, if they're abused as a child, they'll be able to block that out of their mind? And only through hypnosis can it be retrieved from their psyche. That's what I've done with that joke. But unfortunately, you brought it back to
life. Say the phone number, Rob.
Once I went out in the backyard, and I went to our lettuce patch, and some of it was flattened.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
And there were those little rabbit tracks all over.
Wow.
I still don't know what happened to this day.
You had lettuce circles?
We had lettuce circles, yeah. So are they purposely flattening the grain, or is it just the magnetic waves flowing off the spaceship make the grain fall down? But, you know, I'm not the most scientifically savvy person on the planet. My guess, you know, but I would think that magnetic waves and things magnetic and electric would only affect metal objects. And I don't really see how magnetism could affect grain too much. I mean, you can't, you know, unless you have a grain magnet or something. I don't know. Anyway, is this Jason?
Jason, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up,
man? Hi, Jason.
Yeah, man, yeah, I was just calling, talking about that pencil.
Yeah?
I had, like, the same experience, man.
Really?
Yeah, like, yeah, talking about aliens and stuff. I had sex with aliens once.
Oh, you did?
How was it?
You're funny. She was an illegal alien.
Yeah, she had a strange experience with a cat, too. Everything just pieces together on your shed.
A strange experience with a cat. She must have drank some milk before she went to bed.
You're talking about the cat sucking the air out of babies?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, she killed a cat by having sex with it, so it was the cat killing her. I thought that was kind of strange.
Tell you what, you got to get them before they get you.
Yeah, I had to dump her.
So a pussy killed a pussy.
Yeah.
We're out the door. Rock and roll.
Can't believe you said that. 749-1444. This is Dr. Zombie.
All right.
Welcome to radio station EXP. Tonight we are featuring an interview with a very peculiar-looking gentleman who goes by the name of Mr. Paul Caruso on the dodgy subject of are there or are there not flying saucers, or UFOs. Please, Mr. Caruso, could you give us your regarded opinion on this nonsense about spaceships and even space people?
Thank you. As you all know, you just can't believe everything you see in here, can you? Now, if you will excuse me, I must be on my way.
We're back.
So, Rob.
So, Chris.
I guess Dennis is up next.
Yo, Dennis. Give us the good word. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
What's on your mind tonight, Dennis?
I was just wondering why everything reverts back to sports.
What do you mean?
Like the conversation gets on turning back to the Reds.
Well, think about it, man. Sports has been around as long as human beings have been. When the first caveman picked up the first stick and hit the first rock with it, you know, ever since the very first Olympics. And by the way, the Greeks were naked in the first Olympics, all of them. They had naked running, track running, naked wrestling. That was their favorite. They had naked spear throwing. Naked, what else did they have? Naked rock throwing.
Probably some kind of jumping activity.
Yeah, naked jumping. And, I mean, people have been doing sports as long as they've been doing sex. Almost. I mean, after sex, sports is the next thing. After that is music. Because after you start hitting a rock with a stick, you start realizing it makes a really neat sound. If you do it in rhythm, it's kind of cool. And sometimes it'll make it rain out if you do it enough. So, I mean, you know, if you think about it, it's in our blood, man.
Were they the ones that created New Twister?
Could be. I don't know much about the history of the game Twister.
That was John Sebastian that did that.
That probably came out of the 60s, I imagine.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, well, now that you all got your own show, do you become talk show junkies just like me?
No, not at all. I try to stay pure. I try to stay unfettered by the bad habits of other talk show hosts.
Oh.
They all suck except for us.
So none of you all are ditto heads, huh?
Nope.
What's a ditto head?
Rush Limbaugh.
No, we don't like him.
No.
He's a fat ass who talks too much.
He's a fat ass with a good voice, and that's all he is.
I do like Marty and Joe.
Is that right?
Marty and Joe are a couple of fine human beings. I still think that Marty should have thrown that big bowl of salad at Joe Nuxall.
I'll tell you what. I've figured out how I would watch Rush Limbaugh instead of David Letterman. Because they both come on at 12:30, if you can get channel 22. If it's a Monday, so it's a rerun on Letterman.
Right.
And if it's a show that I've seen three times before, and if Sandra Bernhard's on it.
Hey, but she was naked in Playboy.
Whoop-dee-doo. Boy, I have that issue. Three copies.
Mm-hmm. I got that one sitting on the back of the toilet at home. Opened up to the centerfold.
Okay, now I'm getting...
So you listen to a lot of talk shows, huh?
Unfortunately, yeah.
And who's your favorite?
Rush.
No, see, the whole thing about Rush is I have heard him, and I have seen his show. Mm-hmm. And even though I don't agree with him, I still don't think he's funny. We've talked about this before on Chris and Rob. He's just not funny. Other guys that I don't agree with all the time, say a Pat Buchanan or a William Buckley type, they can be funny, and they're actually funny, and they make you laugh because they're humorous.
Right.
Rush is just a cheap shot artist.
Do us a favor, will you? Next time you call the Rush Limbaugh show and he says to you, hey, Dennis, who's your favorite late-night talk show? You can say...
Give me a clue.
The Chris and Rob late-night talk show.
The bottom of your dial, you can't go no lower.
Okay. I'll do that.
All
freak.
Right.
749-1444. What the hell? I prime this guy, right? I pump him up. I say, so what's your favorite late-night talk show? You know, like if this was Sting on the phone, he'd say... You'd say, so Sting, when you're in the greater Cincinnati area, when you're playing a show in the Queen City, what do you listen to? He'd say,
I like to listen to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Right. And so I'm pumping this Dennis guy up, right? And I'm like, so what's your favorite? And he's supposed to say, what?
I like to listen to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
But no, he says, give me a break. Spider, you're on the air.
Hey, what's happening?
Speak up.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, not much happening. What's up with you?
Oh, I've got jet lag from hell.
Jet lag from hell? Why? Where'd you fly to?
You flew from England.
Oh, we thought you flew from hell.
No, I went to England.
What'd you do in England?
Hung out. We did the old laid back thing.
Why didn't you call the talk show from England?
Well, because they're 5 hours ahead.
So you call at 9 o'clock in the morning in England or whatever time it is, 8 o'clock in the morning or whatever. Dude, you can even call collect. Listen, anyone out there who's going to be leaving town, going out on a road trip or something, or hell, if you're going to Antarctica or South America or something, call the talk show from an exotic location. It spices things up, makes things more interesting.
That might be interesting, but you can't hear you guys over the phone.
What'd you see while you were in England?
I saw a lot of the tourist things.
Big Ben?
Yeah.
Changing of the guards?
No, I didn't see the changing of the guards because they weren't changing until the next day. And we were just like...
Buckingham Palace?
Yeah, I saw Buckingham Palace. We saw St. Paul's Cathedral.
Did you see a Bobby? Do you see any bobbies?
Bodies?
Cops. Yeah. Bobbies?
Well, there's some bobbies. The thing I found quite unique was airport security. They walk around carrying semi-automatic rifles.
Can't beat that. I mean, they're a lot closer.
They've got the full bulletproof vest on, and they carry semi-automatic rifles, and this is the way they walk around.
Did you see any unexplained phenomenon?
No, we didn't see any grain fields smashed down.
Well,
There's a lot of sheep in England. A lot of people don't realize that.
They can make them fly, too, sometimes.
Flying sheep?
Yeah.
I thought that was a pig thing.
That's sheep in England. It's pigs in Cincinnati. It's sheep in England.
Oh, I thought Pink Floyd had that pig thing. Flying pig.
They stole it from Cincinnati.
Oh, okay. But it was a good trip.
That's what they all say, man. And Jerry was great.
IRA bombs, and they were bombing Ireland, though.
Oh, really?
They had like 4 bombs in 4 days. They kept flattening city blocks.
Did you hear people make fun of you a lot for being American? Like, ew, you stupid Americans. You just don't, you know, any of that stuff?
No, they pretty much keep to themselves.
Bloody colonist? Do you get called a bloody colonist?